Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
I'm going to give you two portions of scripture you can find in your Bibles. Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 10. Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 10. We're going to hang out in the Gospels for a little bit this morning. Now, after I'd been in field ministry for about 5 years, I had done what I should have done, prepared myself, went to Bible school, learned how to serve, amen, and learned how to serve people. And the Lord began to deal with me after He had put a teaching gift on the inside of me. He began to deal with me about helping people to receive from God. He actually said it to me like this. He says, even with all the teaching that's going on faith and all the anointed ministers, people still struggle to receive from God. And as I begin to teach in a lot of the churches, I begin to see that was true. That people struggle to receive from God, when actually receiving from God is very simple. Now, the first thing I learned in helping people receive from God is I had to unteach people before I could teach them. Isn't that a strange thing to say? You know, I had to unteach people, you know, before I could teach them. It's because, you know, here's the thing. Most of the Christian world, and it's a sad thing to say, but I believe we're changing it. Most of the Christian world is religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Now let me say that again. Most of the Christian world is religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Notice the difference between this week and last week. You couldn't put another person in here last week. Over 20 people got saved last week. Now this week, you know, the crowd's very small. I mean, a lot of our home folks are not here. I guess a lot of people are going to see the eclipse. I'm going to make me a t-shirt set, rained on my eclipse. We might could build the church with that, you know. But anyway, you see, there's a real, how can I say this? People that start getting New Testament taught, they understand about church. They understand about prayer. They understand about the Word of God. They understand about giving. They understand that these things are given to us by God to be life enhancements for us to bring His provision to us in this day and age. Listen, there's not any reluctancy in God in doing miracles, in healing people, in saving people. Listen, the reluctancy is in the people. I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was really trying to make his argument against divine healing because he had not been healed. But you know, here's the thing. Not everybody gets saved. I wish they would. You know, back in when we traveled a lot, we also were able to do a lot of outreaches with churches, and we did outreaches here on the island, and we would do a lot of one-on-one evangelism. And it's always a glorious thing to you know, put a track in somebody's hand and they don't really know what it's about. And then you talk to them about Jesus, and they may say through a few religious things, but as you talk to them, you sense the anointing of God, you sense the unction of God, and next thing you know, you ask that person, would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And they say yes. That's always awesome. I mean, I've led hundreds, maybe even thousands of people to the Lord that way on the streets. But it's always really, I don't know how to say it. It's like a very sad thing when they say no. I mean, I've had people look me right in the face and say, nah, I don't want none of that religious stuff. Well, what can you say, you know? I mean, you can't force people. But it's always sad because people's mindsets, especially if they've had a little bit of churchianity, amen, most people's mindsets are messed up. So here at Island Church, we've endeavored for years to help people receive from God. Now, I've picked out, as I was studying this week, because I was in a certain vein, and the Lord said, no, I want you to do this. I want you to encourage people in receiving from me so they can receive on a higher level. Now, let me just say something. Just like if you were to, you know, you're driving down the road in your car, and maybe you listen to a very well-known radio station out of Houston, one of their big ones. What's the big news one? KTRH, 740. I mean, we've listened to that all our lives, I guess. You know, you want to get a weather report or a traffic report when you're going up to Houston, turn it to 740. They've been the news radio station for, you know, for all of my lifetime. They've been a source of news, source of information. Amen. Now, the thing about that is they give out a constant flow of information that for the most part is factual. You know, if there's a traffic jam on the 610 loop, there's a traffic jam on the 610 loop. If you get there and it's clear, then you're blessed. I mean, they give weather reports, and I guess they prognosticate as well as they can with the weather, and then they share the news, other programs, and things like that. But then, when you get up and you begin to expound on the Word of God and the Bible, the gospel, you depart from the realm of factual information, and you step over into the realm of the truth. Jesus said this: "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That word "know" is a very unusual word. It's actually a word that means to experience. If you continue in the word of God, you're going to experience God. Now, the Bible says of Jesus how he went about what? Preaching, teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, everybody say teaching. Preaching, everybody say preaching. And healing. Everybody say healing. So there was a flow of information. There was a flow of inspiration. Amen. Teaching, information, preaching, inspiration. And then there was what? A flow of demonstration or healing. So for the most part, Christianity has done away with two things: the information part and the demonstration part. They've kind of stuck with the inspirational part, and inspiration does what it always does. It bends toward the social. Sure, you need to be inspired in spiritual things, but you can't eat a constant diet of inspiration. You need some information. What does the Word say? Because it's what the Word says that produces faith on the inside of you. And I think the problem is, we have not allowed the simplicity of this to dawn upon our hearts and minds. We've entered into the complications that all of this confusion that religion brings. Well, I went to a church where they said God doesn't heal anymore. I went to a church where God says he doesn't baptize in the Holy Ghost, that people aren't supposed to speak in tongues anymore. Well, I go to a church where they say, well, God can do miracles, but if he ever does, it's only according to his sovereign will. Well, then that's going to have to be bore out by the Word of God. The Word of God will have to give testimony to that, but here's the problem. Mankind gives testimony to that out of their experience. One of the biggest downturns in the teaching of healing during the healing revival was one of the premier teachers during the healing revival, when a lot of the evangelists were putting up having tent meetings of 10 and 15 and 20,000 people. They could only gather 300 or 400 people in a teaching service. But the problem was his wife died of cancer. So this big, beautiful voice of teaching and revelation became a voice against it. And just basically while Jesus was doing tons of miracles through the healing revival, he's up there preaching against it. So we know that many times through people's experience, it causes them to doubt the Word of God. Let me just throw this out front, then we'll teach these two lessons real quick. Listen, I don't care what your experience is. I don't care what anybody else's experience is. It does not matter. Who's been healed? Who has not been healed? Who's gotten saved? Who hadn't gotten saved? Who has prospered? And who is not prosperous, does not matter to me, because it is the Word of God that produces the results. And any person willing to obey the Word of God, the letter of the Word of God, you're going to get the results of the Word of God. Many times what you just need is a little adjustment in your receptor. Now, if you were driving down the road, that's why I was mentioning KTRH 740, the big radio station out of Houston. So if you're driving out of Galveston, you're heading for Houston, you get up by Baybrook Mall, you start to see cars starting to slow down, you think, I need to get a traffic report because I'm going into Houston. So you turn it on to KTRH and you can't get nothing. So, you know, after trying that for 10 minutes, as you go through Houston, you think, well, I'm just going to go find KTRH. It's right there in downtown Houston as you come around that one corner. I know right where it's at. I'm going to go find that radio station and I'll tell them there's something wrong with your radio station. I was driving down the Gulf Freeway 30 minutes ago, and I tried to get a traffic report, and I could not get a traffic. So you start arguing, and you ask for the technicians, and you ask for that. And finally, somebody walks out in the parking lot and says, "Have you seen? Your antenna is broken." So there wasn't any problem with the sender. There was a problem with the receiver. Amen. And listen, some people are trying to receive. I know this from experience because I used to hook up cable TV way back in the day, back in the 70s. And I'd go into people's houses and all of the old wise tales of how to get a television signal out of the air. I'd go in and people had broken the antennas off of their television sets and put a potato on there. Because someone told them that a potato will pick up a better reception than the antenna that somebody engineered and designed. So we're going to go to the source. Let's read these two real quick. Did I tell you? Matthew 15. Let's read there, then we'll go quickly to Mark and come back here in just a moment. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21. I love this story. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana, everybody say Cana, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Everybody say, "Lord, help me." But he answered her and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman," now notice this, "great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that awesome? Now, real quick, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter, I think I said 5. I meant 10. Amen. Mark, excuse me. I was in Matthew. Now we're in Mark. Mark chapter 10. Praise God. There in verse 46. And it came as they came. To Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Everybody say begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way." Here we go again. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Why did he not say, "I have made thee whole"? Are you with me? Why did Jesus not say, "I'm the one that made you whole"? Both times. Now, there's several other. The woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. Your faith has made you whole. There were others that received. There was a blind man. He said, "Your faith." There were some others that received. There was, I think, 6 or 7 different incidences in the Bible where Jesus put the emphasis not on his power, not on his ability, but on the individual's faith. You say, why? Because the issue is not the power of God, nor is the issue God's willingness. Now, here's where we will attack some of your religious mindsets. Automatically, upon reading, viewing, meditating, or having this scripture taught to you, your mind will entertain thoughts like this. Well, Jesus was there. Well, Jesus was there. Well, Jesus. So automatically in your mind, you kind of equate the miracle to the presence of Jesus at the situation or in the situation. Well, he's there and he's the miracle worker. Did you know there were a lot of people that did not get healed? And the reason I have chosen these two particular scripture references is that Jesus was not looking for either one of these people. He did not seek them out. He did not search for them. He did not look for them. They were looking for a miracle. They were searching for a miracle. In the crisis of life, how many generations had come and gone where people just like them, their problem overwhelmed them and destroyed them? But this was a different day. This was a different hour. Because now Jesus was on the earth and the activation of the Word of God going to a new covenant level was taking place, and people were recognizing and realizing, if this guy is here, we can get healed. Which automatically causes the conclusion in the religious or church world, if this guy is not here, we cannot get healed. Well, the problem is you don't know who that guy is. Before he came to the earth, pre-incarnate, he was the Word of God. In creation, he was the Word of God. When Moses went up the mountain and got the Pentateuch, that's what he got. He got the Word of God. He got the Word of God all down through the Old Covenant. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all through the Old Covenant. The Word of God, 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 the Word of God. And then the Word of God actually manifested. There were literally times in which Israel lived under a miraculous umbrella of the provision of God, under a lesser covenant than we have. Amen? The issue, the problem, is not Jesus, whether he's present or not present, is not the willingness of God in his sovereignty. The problem is that faith stuff. You ain't one of them faith preachers, are you? Well, is there any other kind? I mean, if I went to a preacher and said, are you a faith preacher? Oh, I ain't one of those faith preachers. No. I'd say, then what do you preach? The whole Word of God is designed to impart faith to the heart that does not believe. And both of these incidences, the individual, it was recognized in them. It wasn't your piety. It wasn't your holiness. It wasn't your ability to live so holy and righteous that you deserved or earned a miracle. They just came to Jesus and recognized Jesus was the source. If I want to get something from God, I can get it through him. Amen. Well, he was the Word. What does it say in John chapter 1 in the gospel? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You just act like that Word is God. It is God. It is God. You've got to recognize that the Word of God carries His presence, carries His power, carries His anointing, carries His ability to convince you beyond the reasoning faculties of your five senses and of your mind. When your body's telling you you're sick and infirm, your spirit's telling you're healed by the power of God. When there's no money in your bank account, your spirit's crying out, my God shall supply all of my need. See, you begin to live out of that unseen realm which produces faith, but the faith activates the will of God in your life and the power of God and produces where? In the natural. That's where the glory of God is revealed, is in the seen realm, in the felt realm, in the heard realm. That's why God wants to get his what? His glory into your life and his glory into the church. Now let's look at Bartimaeus real quick. Now we know his biggest problem is he's blind. I mean, that's a problem for anybody, amen? Now notice, they came to Jericho. He went out of Jericho with the disciples. A great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now notice, when he heard. Always remember, there is a difference between listening and hearing. You can be a good listener and a terrible hearer. You're going to live in defeat. You can be a terrible listener, but a good hearer, and you're going to live in victory. Listening empowers you to consider, which puts your choice in the future. Let me say that again. Listening empowers you to consider, which puts your choice in the future. Like when you're taught the Word of God and something comes into your heart and you know God is telling me to do this and you think, well, I'm going to consider that. I'm going to think about that. But if it's faith, if it's wrapped in the power of faith, you can't consider it as factual. You have to consider it as truth. And you have to act on it now. The proof that you've heard it is the courage that you have to act on it now. Let me say that again. The proof that you've heard it. Now, here's blind Bartimaeus. He's not supposed to holler out in crowds. He's supposed to sit quietly by the roadside. He's been given a garment by the Sanhedrin, literally by the religious rulers in Israel. He is given a garment. That garment means he can beg. It's his license to beg. So with his license to beg, he's blind as a bat. He's sitting by the highway outside of Jericho. There's so many types and shadows there. Jericho to Jerusalem. There's so many there, but we're just sticking with the faith stuff in the Word of God. Amen. And so out he comes, but this is not like every other day when he sits by the Word. This time there's a crowd. Amen. This time there's a crowd of people, and they're talking about this guy, Jesus. Now, obviously, Bartimaeus had heard enough about Jesus to produce faith in him. Because when he heard it was Jesus, he got real excited. Because he knew, now listen to me, he knew, I'm in the presence of a miracle. Now, if I can ever get you to the place that when I get up and say, turn to Mark chapter 10, and you open it up and your Bible falls open, you say, you know, I'm in the presence of a miracle. Now, come on, church. I'm in the presence. How can you say that? Because this is the Word of God. I'm in the presence of a... See, when your mindset starts changing to the miraculous, to the supernatural, it's amazing how easy it is to receive. But as long as you allow your mind to continually fight against the what-ifs and the yeah-buts and Grandma didn't get that and Aunt Susie, it doesn't matter. All that's dead and gone. You've got to make a decision that right now, faith is a now force that operates in your life now. Revelation comes now. Faith comes now. You act on faith now. God gives His glory now. Amen. Well, when is now? Now is when you say it is. Not when God says it is. Listen, Bartimaeus, you know what he said today when he heard it was Jesus? He said now. That woman, that Syrophoenician woman, she fought and fought to get her miracle, but she knew her miracle was there or she would have left after Jesus didn't say anything. Amen. So you've got to recognize your opportunity. Every time the Word gets taught, healing power is falling on the congregation. Not because of some anointing from a preacher or some gift from a preacher. It's because the Word of God is full of life. The Word of God is full of power. And if you have an ear to hear it, when it goes out and it's proclaimed and taught through a gift of God, it's going to fall with an anointing, it's going to fall with a purpose, and it's going to fall to get the job done to bring God's glory into manifestation. That's why it's important to hear. Amen. He began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. So you got to be careful about the crowd. So many people. And we experienced that when we traveled a lot and would see people miraculously healed. I mean, some of them were just, it boggles the mind to try to even tell the testimony. Even though you've told the testimony 100 times in your life, you were there when it happened. It still boggles the mind and an imagination that you were there when it happened and saw it happen. One of the most outstanding miracles that we ever saw was a woman born with cerebral palsy that had more gear on her than anybody I ever saw. Had it on her head, her neck, one big one on her torso, and then two on her legs, and she just kind of drug herself with two crutches. Just pitiful, pitiful looking thing. And the Holy Ghost hit her. The power of God, ushers had to help her get all that stuff off. And she began slowly to walk back and forth across the front of that church, just glorifying God. That church went crazy. 6 months later, I'm in that same church and I'm in a restaurant in town. And here comes that woman in with all that gear on, dragging herself. I said, Pastor, what happened? He said, well, they came from a certain denominational church. And her father is a deacon in that church. And she came home healed. And they freaked out. And they sat her down. And they said, something horrible has happened to you. That's what they told her. They said, something, a man has tricked your mind. Now, wait a second. Let me help you. If you're born with cerebral palsy, and you cannot walk under your own power, and you are walking under your own power because a man has tricked your mind, I would just go ahead and leave my mind tricked. I'm just that way. But they just kept in on her. And they said they watched her over about a 6-week period. They'd see her around town. It's not a very big city where they're from. And they'd see her, and she started out first with the crutches, just helping her walk. And the next thing you know, she had on the top piece, and then she was, you know, she lost it. In the same church, we had a man healed of probably just as bad or worse, in which all of his vertebrae were broke loose from his backbone, and God healed him. He healed in a body cast, twisted like an animal, and for 5 years he was a cripple, and God healed him totally. And we were in a meeting in 2020, and he was standing there in the corner. Remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. Absolutely. Amen. So you've got to understand that this stuff operates by faith, and it is kept by faith. So you got to be real careful of the crowd. You say, what do you mean? You come to Island Church and God heals you, and you go back to another church that doesn't believe in healing, and they do not feed you that word that's going to help maintain the glory of what God has put into your life. You'll lose it. So Bartimaeus, first of all, he ran into what? The wrong crowd. Notice what they did. They did what? I said, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But honey, it was not him not holding his peace that got him the miracle. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but I like Bartimaeus. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So he had revelation knowledge. He knew about the Messiah. He knew who the Son of David was. He knew that the Son of David was going to come, and that Isaiah had said, He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement. They were taught this. They were taught this as children. They were taught this as young adults. They were taught this their whole life, that Messiah was going to come, that He would have power and anointing to set you free. And when Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus, how could he but help but cry out? What's your cry sound like? I'm going to tell you, it's a desperate act. Woman with an issue of blood, it's a desperate act. Syrophoenician woman, desperate act. But sometimes it's your desperate act that causes your faith to be ignited and causes the anointing of God to hit your life and set you free. Now notice, we'll get through this and get over to the Syrophoenician woman real quick. Many charged him that he should hold a peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thy Son of David, have mercy on him. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. Everybody say, they called. They called. So obviously, two different attitudes is working in this crowd. One crowd is saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. The other crowd is saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Make sure you're around the right crowd. Because Jesus has done what? He has stopped and he starts commanding on behalf of this cry. He doesn't even know who cried it yet. But you got the creator of the universe commanding on behalf of a blind beggar who's never saw Jesus, only heard. Amen. Now notice, they commanded him to be called. Called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now 2 points here. He casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, I've heard people say different things about this. But I guarantee you, Jesus, he's smart enough to see that that guy's blind. There was no, confusion about what was going on with this guy. Now, the first thing he did when he got up is he took that identification cloak off that identified him as a legal beggar. Amen. Before his eyes were ever open, before he ever got the miracle, he took off everything that identified him with his problem. Sometimes we don't receive because we have not taken off yet. And we hang on to attitudes. The worst in the world is unforgiveness. I've watched people hang on to unforgiveness and it just drive them into bitterness. And the problem with that is when you hang on to unforgiveness, you become susceptible to deception. All through the Bible, and we've seen thousands of examples of that. Don't allow that. Listen, swallow your pride. Get rid of pride. Do everything. I heard one preacher say, pride is the hardest thing to get rid of. And once you're rid of it, it's the first thing that tries to come back. Yeah. Get rid. And some of the worst pride in the world is just that old dumb religious pride. Just in religion many times bases its observances and its understanding. It bases it on facts and not truth. Things like this. The fact is, Aunt Jane died of some disease, but she was believing God for healing. Why'd she die? Well, don't even consider that. You don't know what was going on with Aunt Jane. You better consider your own situation. It's amazing. If you allow the enemy and if you give him an open door, he will bring you all the doubt, unbelief, and offense you can swallow. And if you'll swallow it, he'll keep pumping it down your throat, into your mind, into your thoughts. He'll bombard your mind. He'll put scenarios in your mind. He'll put suppositions in. He'll put all kinds of craziness in your mind. You've got to make a decision to get the devil out of your mind and just simply receive from Jesus. Now, let me say this too, because I've seen people get just stupid in this. You can't go to people, no matter who they think they are in ministry, that's going to find out what's wrong with you, why you can't receive specifically. You say, what do you mean? Well, people go around and say, well, you're bitter and you're in unforgiveness and you're this and you're that. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. Many times I've seen guys operate in that. That's a familiar spirit. That's what that is. Because faith is so precious to God. And so precious, should be so precious to the believer, that God reserves the right to not only impart it to you as an individual through your own study, through your own spiritual growth and development, then he also decides to give it to you corporately as the Word of God is taught and faith comes. And then he even goes to a higher level in that and gives us a spiritual gift of faith in which he imparts faith that's not even developed, that takes you into a whole nother supernatural mindset. So he ain't trying to keep nothing from us, church. Now, casting off his identification with his problem, and then this is unusual. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, if you didn't know the nature of Jesus, you'd almost think it was deception, because he's looking at a blind man. But Jesus knows he's there in what? He's there in faith. He's there in faith. So he asked the one question that is pertinent to his faith. What do you want me to do? I guarantee you, Jesus is standing on his tiptoes going like this. What do you want me to do? It's an easy one. It's not hard. You don't need help. Quiet. Speaking of the crowd. Don't help him with this crowd. This is an easy one. All right, Bartimaeus, here we go. What do you want me to do? Well, he could have said, well, just bless me, Lord. Well, he'd have went, be blessed. Turned around and walked off. Notice specific. What do you want from God? Well, I just want God to bless me. Well, then be blessed. Your specifics manifested through God's glory gives you a greater story and testimony than you thought you would have when you began. Amen. Listen, Bartimaeus knew exactly what to say. What do you want me to do? Look what he says. This is so cool. The blind man said unto him, this is easy. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Don't let the generalization of religion, here's how they do it. You ready? Well, no, nobody can really know God, because God is sovereign in all his ways. His ways are past finding out. Lie? It's not true. They're not past finding out. He reveals it to us in the Word of God. Amen? No, he's as close, he's as near to you as your mouth and your heart. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Amen? That's how close he is to every person on the earth. He's not far, far away. Amen? And when it comes to receiving from God, my goodness, you are in Christ. The very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it's in you. It's in you. Now let me, we've always used this illustration about if you had a 55-gallon drum of the purest, cleanest drinking water that the planet Earth could produce, and you took one, the smallest drop of mercury you could find, and take that drop and drop it in that mercury, in that water, and it go down there, and you standing there, and then there'd be a spout at the bottom, and a guy there with a cup for you, and pull up a cup of that and say, here, you want to drink that? But just one little, it was just one little drop. It's just one little drop. See, now you wouldn't drink that for fear of that one little drop still carrying with it enough poison and enough toxin to affect you. One little drop. 55 gallons. Okay, let's double it. 110 gallons. Ready for a drink now? Nobody wants a drink? 220 gallons. Nobody wants a drink? 440 gallons. Nobody wants a drink? See what I'm saying? Reverse that. Reverse it. Reverse the whole thought, the whole mindset, and think of what God's put in your spirit now. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. His now dwells, abides in you. Do you think it affects you as much as that one drop of water would affect 55, 110, 220, 440 gallons of water? Of course it does. Even more based on your faith. The more faith you have, the more that Spirit on the inside of you grows, dominates, controls, communicates, encourages, empowers, and leads. Oh, come on, church. That's exactly how Bartimaeus got there. That's how he got his healing. And literally, it was not some, well, you got to go to Bible school for 4 years. No, it was the simplicity of the Word being present to heal. Every time you come to church, the Word is present to heal. Every time you come to church, the Word is present to deliver, to save, to restore, to whatever you need. The Word is present to do it. You got to make sure your antenna ain't broke and you're on the right station. Real quick, Matthew 15. We'll close with this. There's so much in this one. We've taught on this so much. Jesus went thence, departed, and came to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Cana, no covenant, half-breed, prejudiced, hate, all kinds of problems between them and the Jews, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, the next part of the scripture says this, but he answered her not a word. This was the posture of the Jew toward the Canaanite. Especially man toward woman. A Jewish man had no dealings with a Canaanite woman unless it was immoral or illegal. So Jesus is, he's right, he's in Canaan walking on, and she comes up and starts crying out this pitiful, horrible crisis in her life. My daughter is vexed with a devil. Well, my goodness, what could have that been? That's horrible. Amen? And Jesus is just standing there. He's not saying anything. He's in the correct, what would you call it, social posture. He just stands there. He doesn't say anything to the Canaanite woman. Now notice. But he answered her not a word. Then he's got his disciples. They came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So she'd been working on the disciples. And she got through them, got to Jesus. Now they watched his posture and his attitude, and they thought, he's on our side. We'll get him to fix this. We've heard people crying before, and if Jesus didn't heal them immediately, we have ways of just pushing them into the crowd, whatever. No, 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 no. No, no. Jesus said he wasn't into that. He wasn't into that. Amen. His disciples were sorry, send her away. But he answered and said, now he's finally going to say something. Now the Word of God is finally going to say something. I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whoa! Was that racial? Come on, church. What was that? You're calling Israel a sheep Amen? And you're segregating her from what you're doing geographically. We're standing in Cana. We're amongst a bunch of half-breeds. I'm not sent. But unto the lost, boy, this thing looks like a fiasco fixing, looks like a knockdown drag out fixing to happen. Somebody gonna step up there and punch somebody. Here's a smart woman. Thank God for smart women. Here's a smart woman. Notice what it says. Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped. We've said this for years. What do you do when you can't figure out God? You have to worship. We talked about the radio station. A lot of people just aren't on the right channel. You got to get on that right channel. You got to stay on that right channel, and worship puts you on the channel. Worship adjusts the receiver. Worship focuses not on the problem. Worship focuses on the answer. Come on, church. When you worship, you begin to pull away from all of the impossibility of the situation, and you begin to approach the provision of God's glory in your life. That's what worship does for you. That's why it's so powerful to worship, to know how to worship and to worship. But after her worship, now notice, after her worship, but he answered, or Jesus answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Woo! Are you calling me a dog? I bet you that the crowd was wrestling, bristling, and everything was not dependent upon Jesus' reaction, but on her reaction. Hey, she could have got mad. She could have stomped off when she was ignored. She could have got mad. She could have stomped off when he said, "I'm not sent but to the sheep." But that totally isolated her. You know what that was? In the natural. You know what that was? It was a nope. "Heal my daughter. She's vexed with the devil." Silence. "I'm not sent but unto the lost, the sheep of the lost tribe of Israel." No. "It's not meet," or "it's not right," or "I'm not able to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." So, the entirety of this entire scene shows us how strong offense is to keep you from the miracles of God. Because everything said and done on the surface was offensive. But who's speaking? Who's speaking? Jesus. And Jesus doesn't speak on the level of human ignorance. He speaks on the level of divine inspiration. And he knew her heart, and he knew the situation, and he knew exactly what to say. I always preach this. I talk about the spiritual math. In her head, somehow, someway, when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with that woman, and I want to talk to her and ask her, when Jesus was saying those things, what was going on in your head to get you to the conclusion to say something like, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Brilliant. How do you get revelation like that? How do you get a response like that? You know how? By staying when you should leave. That's why a lot of people never get it. Because on their path to a miracle, there's something that will come up that's offensive, that they're going to have to deal with. But they're going to have to remember, if it comes from the Word of God, it's being spoke by God. So on the surface, it may be something that sounds offensive, looks offensive, but when you take and you take all the layers off of it, in the middle of it is a miracle and a God that will look at you and say, "Great is your faith." Great, not just faith, not just your faith, but you got some great faith, woman. He never said that to a Jewish person. He only said it to a Roman centurion and a Syrophoenician Canaanite. That's the only one he ever said, "Great is your faith." Mm-mm-mm. "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Jesus answered and said, I bet that just blew him away. "Oh, woman, great is your faith." Now listen to this. We don't talk about this much. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt," or "will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what? You know what she, you know what this Jesus just said to you, said to her? Your will has now become my will. And when Jesus says to you, your will has now become my will, you're fixing to get your miracle. You're fixing to get a manifestation. Is his will your will? Is his will your will? When you begin to study the word, you begin to see things. Listen, never ever, this will be my last closing. Never ever allow your intellect to challenge the word. Because it will come up with every yeah, but, what if, that you can come up with. But just the opposite. Flip it around. It's easy. You can do it. Flip it around. Let the word of God challenge your intellect. When the word says yes and your intellect says no, side with the word. When the word says no, when the word says it's not impossible with me, and the situation says it's impossible, side with the word. Yeah. When the doctor's report says you're sick, you're healed, and you're infirm, side with the word. By his stripes, you're healed. When your bank account says you're broke, you're poor, you're not going to make it, side with the word. It says he'll supply all of you. Because see, in that word, number one is the ability to impart faith to you. And the power of faith is to keep you believing apart from sensuality. Yeah. Apart from what your eyes are saying, I don't see the miracle. Your ears are saying, I don't hear the miracle. Your flesh is saying, I don't feel it. Your nose is saying, I don't smell it. Your hands are saying, I'm not handling it. But faith says, it's mine. Yeah. So you've got to let the it's mine of faith be bigger than it's not the not mine of my senses. Every sense in your body can tell you it's not yours. You don't have it. It's not yours. But the word of God is so powerful, so quick, so strong, and it quickens your spirit. And when you say, it's mine, I don't care. All of a sudden, everything you need, all the provision of God begins to come online for you because you won't quit, back off, or give up in the midst of opposition. Now notice, both of these people got their miracle. Bartimaeus, his eyes were healed. The opposition didn't win out. The woman, the Canaanite woman, she went home, and what did she find? Her beautiful daughter, back in her right mind, not vexed by a devil. Both of them had tremendous opposition, and Jesus was there. But they still got a miracle. Now, every time we gather, we know in reality, redemptive realities, where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. His blood is poured upon the mercy seat. The marks of our covenant are in his hands, in his feet, in his side, and on his head, and on his back. But he is here this morning. You say, now how could he be here this morning and he's in heaven? Because he's God. He is here. What is his form? How does he look? In what form has the Master taken this morning? He's here in the person of the Word of God. And what have we always said about the name of Jesus and teaching on the name of Jesus and understanding the reality of the three ways in which he's got it? We know that Jesus' name takes the place of Jesus being personally present with us. They didn't have his name in the Gospels. We have his name. They didn't have his spirit. We have his spirit. They didn't have his word. We have his word. They had the word of another covenant, and they literally were getting miracles on the Abrahamic covenant and on David's covenant. Remember the woman with a bowed over in the temple, and he said, shouldn't this daughter of Abraham? Now, when you begin to look at it, this is what has amazed me. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to celebrate. That literally, April 21st will be the first sermon I preached 40 years ago was on April 21st. So that's we've timed it well. Amen. It took us 40 years to do it. Amen. But the first message I preached, I immediately became aware of people's ability to receive the word. You could tell people were like, for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Yeah, I mean, come on, church. And that's not easy for a young preacher. So I thought it was me. Oh, you know, I can't do this. I can't call. You know, I mean, they say that the greatest fear in humanity is not the fear of death. It's the second greatest. You know the first greatest fear? The fear of public speaking. Amen. So I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe there's something else to do after this, you know. But, you know, I wasn't 3 weeks later, I had another meeting. 3 weeks after that, I had another meeting, you know. So you have to understand. I heard this years ago from a preacher. He said, the results of the word, of what God does through the word. He watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return void. It does accomplish that word to its sent. The responsibility of the manifestation of the word is on God. Believing it, that responsibility is on us. But look what he's given us. He's given us fivefold ministry. He's given us the Holy Ghost as a teacher. He's given all of us his spirit on the inside of us to guide us, help us, teach us. Amen. Amen. Not only that, we have the corporate setting of the church and its anointing. We have all these other wonderful ministers that come through here imparting the word of God to us. Listen, there's no reason. There's no reason not to receive. There's no reason not to receive. I like to say it like this. There's no reasonable reason. Amen. If it's unforgiveness in your heart causing you not to be able to receive, get it out. Purge it. Get it out. If it's lack of information, my goodness, we got information everywhere. We can point you in any direction you need for healing, whatever you need. Amen. It's all in the book. Not only that, we're living in a time, last days. Jesus could come back at any moment. Lots of preachers are preaching on the rapture now because it's so close. But here's what you've got to realize. We're living in a time in which time has been suppressed, squeezed down. We talked about like an hourglass. That sand doesn't run near as quick as it does when it starts getting to the bottom. You ever notice that 2-minute clock in a football game? Although they can stop it, it still runs till it's out. Amen? We're getting down to those what? Last hours, last moments, last seconds. That doesn't mean faith works any less. That means it works quicker, faster in the hearts of anyone who's willing to believe it. Amen? Lift your hands and thank Him. Father, thank You. No matter what the restriction may be, no matter what the resistance is, thank You, Father, for Your word of faith, that which You've given us, that which causes faith to come. Thank You for it, Father. Devil, we bind you. Your foul spirit of doubt, fear, unbelief, that which tries to attach itself to God's people, we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank You. The eyes of our understanding is enlightened. The simplicity of a blind beggar receiving such a major miracle based on a simple revelation of Jesus being the Son of David. That Canaanite woman, she knew Jesus was the dispenser of the mercy of God. Father, thank You for giving us these examples in Your word, inspiring and informing so that our faith may be active and living. We thank You for it, Father. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands up for just a moment and worship God. Just lift your hands. Father, we worship You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father God. How we thank You this morning. How we glorify Your name. Blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, we worship You. Thank You that You are the living Word. That You are the living Word. Your Word is alive. It's quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Divides asunder that which is the spirit, soul, and body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Thank You, Father, for that living word. Hallelujah. Put your hands down just for a moment. Most everybody home folked here, so let's just do this real quick. Anybody here, you say, Pastor, I'm not living right. I need to get right with God this morning. Anybody at all? Praise God. Praise God. One hand, you can put that hand down. Praise God. You're right with God. You're okay. Another hand over here. Praise God. Two hands over here. God bless you. Another hand over here. Two hands over here. Praise God. Amen. Well, good. That's 4 or 5. Anyone else? You say, I need to be right with God. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I were to die. You need to be saved. Amen. Anyone else? That's 5 people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, just stay seated. Everybody pray this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus Christ. Today at Island Church on April the 7th, 2024, I confess Him as my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Jesus, that You came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles. And you died on a cross. And you did it for me. I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you today. I am saved. I am right with God. My sins are remitted. My sins are forgiven. So I thank you, Father. I'm right with you, and I will stay right with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you so much for today, for what you've spoken to us, for what the Spirit of God has stirred in our midst. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that what we receive from you, we will not lose. And where we're not on the right channel, thank you today, Lord, you've put us a little closer to the frequency we need to be on. Lord, we thank you for safety and protection as we leave today. The highways, the airways, the railways, the seaways remain dangerous. And as they do, we pull upon the Word of God. We put a demand upon the Word of God for safety, for protection. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. Thank you, Lord God. Stir the Spirit of God in us. Let us not pass up opportunities to be a blessing to people, a problem to the devil, a miracle in someone's life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you, in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be, thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.